2016加拿大红法行，世间与出世间的分界线，慈城罗珠堪布讲授。更多课程请访问堪布官方网站www.慧灯之光.com。
中等电光波将我的摇拉向杂罗更高罗珠这么一阵子你的南大拉斯为真的都跟真的是真的的格拉龙尊更大这边做了马这个门头定格的节奏里面就做个拉不就到这样拉就这样的从这的节奏你摸你龙的节奏都中在마르그 m 제 z 므 r 미 n 전 g 점 r 라 m 농 g 내 danya, jumza, rajano, donet, danza, zabjin, da, so, yon, don, Umara bazanardı, zirdini cijim geri o zirci dalı dımı mınbarav zan. Kvadan damcı zonlu dobay, lucu bu bir novab gitti soru. Nyarci cimbo zirdini nimi jan zonu malı cimbo ngavdiyat. Bakırı dağım zan tuşamırdı, tumba dikci canla jan zarlı.
各位法师，各位佛友，大家晚上好。
Good evening, Dharma teachers and friends.
我们现在开始讲今天的课。那么讲课之前，请大家发菩提心。
We are going to begin with tonight's teaching now. Before we do, everybody, please make an aspiration of bodhicitta.
那么什么叫做菩提心呢？我们这两天每天都有给大家介绍，今天也给大家简单的介绍一下菩提心，就是两个决心啊，下决心两个决心。第一个决心就是从现在开始。我要让天下所有的众生成佛解脱，我一定要去做这个事情啊！从现在开始，我要去做这个事情，要这样子的决心，要这样子下决心啊！这个是菩提心的一半。
Every night for the past several days, I've been reminding everyone about the importance of bodhicitta. Very simply, bodhicitta is made up of two resolves or two commitments. The first of these is from this point onwards, from now onwards, to work for the sake of all beings so that they may attain liberation and Buddhahood. And this resolve or commitment makes up half of the bodhicitta aspiration.
然后另外的一部分呢，就是因为我们现在要去让天下所有众生成佛，我们没有这个能力。那么没有能力，我们怎么办呢？首先自己要成佛。如果我们能够成佛的话，那就可以让天下所有的众生逐渐逐渐的成佛，完全是可以做到的。所以我要下定决心，我要成佛我一定要成佛。成佛就是我的人生的目标生存的目标，不仅仅是这一世的目标，而且生生死死的我的目标就是成佛。要这样子下决心，那么这两个决心加起来就叫做菩提心。
The second part of the bodhicitta aspiration is in order to fulfill the first goal of bringing all beings to liberation and enabling them to attain Buddhahood, it's necessary that we first attain Buddhahood ourselves because as we currently are, we have very little capacity to fulfill this goal. However, if we are able to attain Buddhahood, then it will be possible for us to gradually bring other beings to the state of Buddhahood themselves. So for this reason, we resolve to achieve Buddhahood, and we make this our purpose in life, our purpose in existence, and not just for this lifetime, but for all lifetimes to come. So these two resolves or commitments put together comprise bodhicitta.
好，发了菩提心以后，我们就开始讲今天的课。那么今天的课的题目就是时间与初时间的界限啊。那么我们今天为什么要讲一个这样子的课呢？啊，我们今天在座的啊，基本上都是佛教徒啊，学佛的人。那么这样子的话，佛教徒啊，基本上应该是修这个解脱道啊，大家都想从这个生死轮回当中获得解脱啊。我们啊，应该是每一个人的心愿就是这样子啊。那么我们要从轮回当中获得解脱，这样子的话，那首先我们要知道什么是轮回，什么是涅槃啊，或者是说什么是时间，然后什么是初时间。首先要了解，这样子以后呢，我们可以啊这个追求解脱。
So after everyone has made an aspiration of bodhicitta, we'll now move on to tonight's teaching. The topic of tonight's teaching is the boundary between the worldly and the transworldly, or the mundane and the transmundane. Why is it that we are talking on this topic tonight? The reason is that the majority of everyone here this evening are Buddhists, and most are practitioners of the path of liberation. That is to say that most people's aspiration here tonight is to seek liberation from the sufferings of cyclic existence. If this is the case, we need to know what is the worldly, and what is nirvana? What is this worldly, and what is otherworldly? And once we understand this, then we can go about practicing the path of liberation.
首先，什么叫做时间，然后什么叫做初时间，先了解一下。简单的说，我们就不讲很复杂的这些佛教的这些理论，简单的说我们的心，我们每一个人的心就像一个鱼食一个鱼食还没有被加工的时候的鱼。那么我们的每一个人的心为什么想一个鱼食呢？因为玉石从外面看起来这个不像个鱼，就像个石头一样。但是呢，加工了以后呢，它最后就变成了一个鱼，它就变成了一个鱼或者是我们的心从另外一个角度，我们的心就像一个矿石然后这个矿石还没有被加工的时候呢，它就像一个普通的石头一样，但是呢，它跟普通的石头不一样的地方呢，因为它的这个矿石的里面就有矿物质，如果加工的话，这个矿物质可以提炼出来的，可以提炼出来。那么还没有加工的时候还没有加工的时候，就叫做这个时候就叫做矿石这个时候呢还不叫矿物质然后我们的心还没有被加工的时候就像我们的心，就是我们现在的这个阶段我们有各种各样的烦恼，然后就有各种各样的情绪，有各种各样的痛苦这个时候呢， 我们的心啊，就像一个狂使一样啊，那这个时候叫做轮回，叫做时间。
So in terms of what constitutes the worldly and what constitutes the transworldly, I'm tonight not going to talk about a whole lot of complicated Buddhist theory. I'm going to put things in simple terms. So we can say that everyone's mind is like a piece of rock that contains jade before it has been refined. So on the outside, it appears to be just like an ordinary rock. However, after the rock is refined, then it is possible to reveal the jade within it. Or we could say that we could liken our minds to a rock, a mineral rock that contains mineral deposits. Before it is, the mineral is extracted, the rock appears like any other ordinary rock. However, the difference between mineral rock and ordinary rock is that it contains within it mineral deposits, mineral substances. And if we engage in a process of refining the rock, then it's possible to extract these substances. However, before we do this, it's just a mineral rock. It's not the mineral substance itself. And so our minds, before we go about refining them, as they are at this current stage, are full of suffering, afflictions, negative emotions, etc. And this state is what we call cyclic existence or the worldly.
然后这个矿物质嘛，加工了以后呢，就把这个里面的矿物质和这个矿石里面的矿渣把它分开。分开把矿渣扔掉，然后就里面就体验出来它的这个矿物质的部分就这个最后就是变成一个很纯净的纯洁的这个矿物质。那同样的，我们的心，我们同样的就是通过这个修心通过打坐，通过这个训练，那最后我们的心也就可以把我们内心当中的这些所有的烦恼可以端掉，把所有的烦恼可以端掉。因为烦恼都不是我们的心的本质它不是我们的心的本质。我们的内心的本质不是这些烦恼我们的内心的本质不是我们现实生活当中感受到的这些情绪。那这些情绪都是我们的内心的表面的现象，它是表面的现象。然后它的真正的这个它的本质呢，就在这个表面的现象的最深处最深的地方这个就是我们现实生活当中很一般接触不到。然后通过这个佛教的打坐训练逐渐逐渐的，我们把这些烦恼情绪端掉了以后呢，然后最后我们的心的本心，它的本来的面目就是显出来。那这个时候叫做这个处世间也叫做涅槃。
So it is possible to process mineral rock and to separate the sediment or the ordinary rock from the mineral substance itself, and in so doing to extract a mineral deposit that is very pure in its nature. And in the same way, it's possible through meditation and training our minds to eliminate all of our afflictions. The reason is that our afflictions, our negative thoughts and emotions are not the basic nature. They're not the basic or fundamental essence of mind. Our mind's basic nature is not the negative thoughts and moods, etc., that we experience in it in our everyday lives. These, in fact, are just superficial phenomenon. The real essence or the fundamental essence of our minds resides at the most innermost layer of our minds, far behind these superficial phenomena. And for this reason, this fundamental essence of mind is not something that we regularly encounter. However, through meditation and training, it's possible for us to gradually eliminate our afflictions so that the primordial, original state of our mind can be revealed. And this is otherworldly, transworldly. This is nirvana.
好，那然后我们可以这样子理解，啊，这个我们每一个人，啊，首先我们是凡夫，啊，用佛教的话来讲。凡夫，凡夫是什么意思？就是普通的人，嗯，普通的人没有觉悟，没有智慧啊。这个时候，我们不了解我们的生命的本质是什么，然后我们也不了解这个世界它的本质、它的本来的面目、它的真相啊是什么，然后我们更加的不了解我们自己的内心的这个本质是什么啊，这样子的时候呢就叫做迷，迷的时候啊，那这个时候叫做轮回啊，也叫做时间。
So every person is an ordinary mortal being, and this is a Buddhist term, basically meaning that everyone is ordinary. They are not enlightened. They are without wisdom. They don't understand, or we don't understand the truth of ourselves, the truth of the external world, and even less do we understand the truth of the nature of our mind. So we exist in a state of confusion, and this state of confusion can also be called the state of cyclic existence or the this worldly.
然后有一天啊，我们彻底的明白了这个世界的本质是什么，然后我们彻底的了解了我们自己的内心的本质啊是什么啊，这个时候叫做无啊，这时候就是无开悟真无，我们有了智慧，然后就彻底的了解了我们的内心的本质啊，这个时候叫做无啊，这个无跟这个处时间啊，处时间涅槃解脱啊，这些都是啊，这都是一个意思。
If one day we're able to completely understand or completely realize the truth of both ourselves and the external world, then we achieve enlightenment. We have the wisdom of understanding the inner truth of our minds. And this state we refer to as nirvana, liberation, or the transworldly, transmundane.
好，这两个啊不同的阶段，就是我们每一个人都会经历的。首先，我们是啊普通的人，没有觉悟。然后我们学佛修心啊，通过这个佛教的修行，最后我们发现我们自己的心的本性。然后发现了心的本性的时候呢，我们把这些所有的烦恼从本质上就可以断掉，那断掉了以后呢，我们最后就是到达了这个涅槃啊，这个境界，所以我们每一个人都会有这两个不同的啊，这个经，如果我们认真的去学佛的话，每个人都有这样子的机会，从时间啊走向处时间啊，从轮回走向涅槃。
So these different stages, every practitioner, every person passes through, that is moving from being an ordinary person with no realization, no enlightenment, through Buddhist practice to being able to gradually discover the state, the nature of one's mind. And in so doing, it's possible to eliminate suffering at the root. And in doing this, we will approach the state of nirvana. And if we are diligent, this is something that everyone has the opportunity to do, to move through these stages from the state of being in the world to beyond the world, to move from being in cyclic existence to moving to nirvana.
还有六道轮回啊，就是时间，然后成佛啊，就是处时间啊，这个是最简单的解释。
We could also say that the six realms of cyclic existence are this world, and the state of Buddhahood is beyond this world. This is probably the most simple explanation.
好，接下来我们进一步的了解这个时间和出世间啊。那还有一个呢，我们在这个修心的时候，我们怎么样啊，从这个时间啊走向处世间啊，这是我们讲这方面的啊。这方面我们可以讲啊，可以给大家介绍四个不同的这个分类啊，四个不同的时间和处世间。
So we are going to continue to deepen our understanding of this world and beyond this world. In particular, we are going to look at how it is through practice that we move from being in this world to being beyond this world. And in respect of this, there are four categories that we can use to better understand this world and beyond this world.
啊，第一个是从法行的角度讲啊，有时间和处世间啊，时间的法行和处世间的法行啊。那时间的法行、处世间的法行是什么？首先啊，由出离心啊，由出离心啊，出离心就是处世间的啊法行，然后没有出离心的啊，凡是没有出离心的啊，凡是跟出离心没有关系的这些法行啊，或者是这些动机啊，都叫做时间啊，都叫做这个时间的法行。
So the first of these categories is that of motivation. So in terms of Buddhist practice, there are mundane motivations and transmundane motivations, or this worldly motivation and beyond this world motivation. So what are these? Well, first of all, with a mind of renunciation, then this is a beyond this world level of motivation, or a transmundane level of motivation. However, if we do not have renunciation, or our motivation in engaging in Buddhist practice has no connection with renunciation whatsoever, then this is a this worldly level of motivation.
法心啊，佛教讲法心啊，法心是什么意思呢？就是动机，我们做任何事情啊，都有一个它的动机啊，这个动机叫做法心啊。那比如说时间的法心是什么？比如说我们啊，为了我们现实的这个健康啊，为了长寿，为了发财，为了工作顺利。还有就是为了避免一些时间的这个灾难啊等等， 这样子的发心啊，这样子的动机啊，都叫做时间啊，时间的发心。还有一个，比如说我们啊做功德、心善积德的时候，比如说我们为了啊，不仅仅是为了现世啊，为了下一世，为了下一世啊能够健康长寿啊，能够这个不堕地狱、不堕恶鬼啊，健康长寿，就是这样子的这个发心，这样子的动机，这所有的这样子的动机都叫做时间的发心，时间的动机。
So, when we speak of motivation, what we are really talking about is the reason that is motivating us engaging in a particular task. Any kind of action that we undertake, we have a motivation for doing it. And in terms of a worldly motivation, this is engaging in Buddhist activity for the purposes of achieving good health in this life, longevity, prosperity, success in one's career, or avoiding disasters and so forth. These kinds of motivations are all considered to be worldly. If also we engage in positive and meritorious action, not just for these goals in this life, but also in our next lives, and as well so as not to descend to the hell realms or the realms of hungry ghosts, then all of these kinds of motivations are considered worldly in nature.
所以我们很多的学佛人就是经常喜欢烧香拜佛，然后就是我们的生活上有什么问题的时候呢，然后就去求佛，就到寺庙去求佛。那这样子的动机，这样子的发心都叫做时速，时速或者是实践实践的发心。因为这个动机为什么要去烧香，为什么拜佛，为什么求佛，这所有的目的就是在这个轮回当中就是在这一世或者下一世，为了健康为了长寿，为了发财，就是为了这些为了这些实践的这些，为了达到这个世间的这些目标为了得到这些实践的这些这个世俗间的这些轮回当中的这些这个目的，所以这样子的这个发心都叫做时间的发心。
Many Buddhists like to make incense offerings and so forth. When they encounter some kind of adversity in their lives, they frequently pray to the Buddha. And these kinds of motivations are all worldly in nature. So when we make offerings or pray to the Buddha, etc., for health and prosperity, etc., in this lifetime or a future lifetime, we are really seeking to attain these goals within cyclic existence, whether it be this life or the next life. So for this reason, this kind of motivation is worldly.
时间的这个发心呢，只能让我们在这个时间这个轮回当中能够健康，能够长寿能够工作顺利。就是除了这一点除了这一点以外这个发心不能让我们解脱不能让我们成佛这些都不可以。为什么不可以呢？因为这个动机发心它本来就是没有想到要成佛，没有想到要解脱，没有想到要利他实际上就是一个功利的心，就是一个功利心就是像我这一世过得好一点为了我这一世过得好一点，为了我下一世不堕地狱，不堕恶鬼，下一世我可以继续可以享受人天的福报 就这么一点点的这个追求所以这叫做时间的这个罚心所以我们每一个人必须要我们要这个要反思一下我们的这个平时我们的这个学佛这个所谓的学佛的这个罚心是不是这种罚心如果是这种罚心那么我们学佛和不学佛当然是这个学佛总比不学佛不学好但是呢实际上这个的意义不是很大只能最多顶多也就在这个轮回当中过得稍微好一点除了这个以外没有其他的这个结果因为他本来就没有追求其他的所以这个发心是不是很好的所以我们必须要思考一下我们自己的我们要观察自我观察一下我们到现在为止我们学佛十年八年多少年这个过程当中我们的目的是什么我们的发心到底是时间还是出时间这个我们要观察一下。
So, this kind of worldly motivation is only able to assist us in achieving good luck and longevity and health in this lifetime. It's not able to assist us in achieving liberation or attaining Buddhahood. And why is this the case? The reason is that with this kind of motivation, we have no thought whatsoever of achieving Buddhahood or liberation or benefiting others. In fact, this kind of motivation is essentially just self-interested. All one is really concerned for is having a better time in this lifetime and in one's next lifetime not descending to the hell realms and continuing to be able to enjoy the benefits of a human rebirth. So this is why we call it a worldly level of motivation. So all of us really need to reflect on whether our level of motivation is this kind of motivation. Of course, this level of motivation is better than having no kind of Buddhist practice whatsoever. However, the meaning of this kind of motivation, there's not much meaning. It's not very meaningful. This really isn't the best level of motivation that we can have. And so everyone needs to examine themselves and ask themselves whether our goals or your goals over these years of being a Buddhist have been this worldly or beyond this world, whether they have been mundane or transmundane.
我们每一个人基本上大多数都是普通的人凡夫至少目前是这样子。那我们作为一个凡夫我们有这样子的想法比如说我或者是我的家人我的朋友希望健康希望长寿希望一切都顺顺利利不仅是这一世然后下一世也就是这样子有这个想法很正常很正常所以佛教不是反对有这样子的想法可以的。但是如果我们只有这一点的追求没有更高的追求没有更高的想法我们的所有的学佛的动机都是这样子的话这个确实是非常不划算所以佛教就是鼓励我们稍微目标这个发心再高一点并不是说不可以有这样子的想法这个想法可以有但是呢鼓励我们再高一点目标再高一点不要目标不要这么庸俗不要这么世俗世俗的这些目标对我们世俗的人来说是很重要的是很重要很现实的问题所以我们有这种想法是正常的但是只有这一点想法然后没有更高的目标的话这个就是 算是不太正常啊，所以呢，佛要求我们目标再高一点。
So most people are ordinary beings, or at least for the time being, we are ordinary beings. And as ordinary people, we are concerned for the health and longevity and good luck of ourselves and our family members in this lifetime as well as in future lifetimes. And this is very normal, it's understandable. And so Buddhism, in fact, doesn't refute or object to these concerns. However, without a higher purpose in addition to these concerns, if these are entirely our concerns, we don't have anything higher than this, then this is not very worthwhile at all. So Buddhism encourages us to have a higher motivation in terms of our practice. Of course, that's not to say that we can't be concerned for these worldly objectives. Being ordinary people, these are very realistic concerns that people face. However, if these are our only concerns and we have nothing more or in addition to this, then this is not a normal or a good situation. So the Buddhist teachings encourage us to aspire and aim higher than this.
好，第二个是处世间的动机或者是发心啊，那么初时间的发心呢，我们刚刚也提到了，就是出离心啊，出离心啊，出离心是什么啊？出离心就是很简单啊，出离心就是下决心啊，我要解脱，就是这个想法啊，下定决心，我一定要解脱，我不能再轮回啊，我不想再这样子轮回，我一定要解脱，我一定要这个，要不就是成佛啊，要不就是小乘佛教的阿罗汉，反正我不想再轮回，我一定要了脱自己的生死，那我一定要从这个生老病死的痛苦当中摆脱啊，那这个决心叫做出离心。
So moving on, we've just addressed the worldly level of motivation, and now we're going to look at a beyond this worldly level of motivation. As we mentioned before, this level of motivation is a motivation that is underpinned by renunciation. What is renunciation? Well, it's very simple. Renunciation is the resolve to achieve liberation. It's based on a refusal to continue to remain in cyclic existence, and it's based on a resolve to transcend cyclic existence, to either attain the state of arhatship or to attain the state of Buddhahood. So this determination to go beyond the suffering of birth, degeneration, illness, and death is the mind of renunciation.
那我们发什么样的心啊，有什么样的动机，这个跟我们的价值观有关系。如果我们认为啊，这个轮回当中的一切，比如说啊，金钱、地位、权力、名声啊，这些东西我们觉得非常非常重要啊，非常的好啊，这些都比什么都比其他什么都好啊，然后呢，解脱成佛啊，这些我们不是很感兴趣啊，觉得这个不是不不不这些啊，对我来说没有什么吸引力啊，对我最有吸引力的就是这些世俗的啊这些，然后世俗的这些地位权力这些。觉得很有价值啊，然后呢，解脱这些都没有什么价值啊。那如果是这种想法的话，还不太了解这个轮回，还不太了解 这个解脱这样子的时候呢，我们有这样子的想法也是很正常的，因为我们不了解啊，我们目前我们了解的就是啊金钱，然后就是这个民生啊，这些我们比较了解，然后解脱呀、成佛呀、啊涅槃啊，这些我们不太了解啊，所以呢，因为我们不太了解，所以他们对于我们来说就是没有太大的吸引力啊。我们平时我们啊比较在乎的就是这些世俗的这些啊世俗的这些名利等等。所以这些世俗的名利啊对我们非常有吸引力。那这个时候呢让我们发起出离心是很难的。
As to what kind of aspiration we bring to our practice, or as to which level of motivation we cultivate, this has a very close connection to our values, to what we value in life. So if it is money, status, fame, power, etc., that we regard as excellent and more important than anything else, then we and not so interested in liberation or attaining Buddhahood, then naturally these are not going to be very attractive to us. What is most attractive to us is money, fame, status. And having this kind of, and valuing these things, in not if we don't understand the nature of cyclic existence and we don't understand about liberation, actually valuing these things more is quite normal. It's quite normal to think this way because, in fact, what we do have an understanding of at this point in time is just these things, wealth, reputation, etc. And it's because we don't have a particularly good understanding of Buddhahood, liberation, nirvana, etc., that these are not very appealing or attractive to us. We are, at this point, mostly interested in worldly advantage. And if this is the case, it's actually very difficult for us to generate renunciation.
比如说，像啊，三岁、四岁的小孩，两三岁的小孩来说，一个手指头这么大的金刚钻石和一个玩具，他可能更喜欢的是玩具啊。他可能跟这个金刚钻石不太感兴趣，他更感兴趣的是玩具。
So it's like a child of 2 or 3 years of age. If they had to choose between a diamond the size of a finger and a toy, they would probably be more interested in the toy.
那我们普通人也是这样，我们更感兴趣的就是这些轮回世俗当中的这些东西啊，然后涅槃真无这些我们也许不太感兴趣，因为我们不了解啊他们是什么啊，我们不了解他们的真正的意义，不了解他们的真正的价值，就像小孩他不了解这个金刚钻石到底是什么东西啊，有什么用他不了解一样。
So as ordinary people, we are more concerned, we're more interested in worldly things, and we are not so interested in nirvana, liberation, etc. The reason being that we don't understand the significance and the value of these latter things. So we're like children who don't understand the value of a diamond and its use.
我们为了解决我们的身心的痛苦这些问题，我们奋斗了一辈子啊，奋斗了一辈子，但是我们走的时候呢，很多问题很多的痛苦还是没有解决，只是解决了一部分的问题，比如说我们啊，为了吃，为了穿， 为了主，就是为了解决这些问题，我们奋斗了一辈子啊，解决了一部分的问题，但是呢，我们走的时候还没有解决的问题更多啊，更多还有更严重的问题没有解决，所以我们啊，奋斗了一辈子再一辈子啊，几千万年、几百万年啊，这样子奋斗下来，到现在为止，我们的这些问题还没有得到解决，所以我们需要有一个方法，就把全部的这些问题从本质上啊解决。如果找到一个这样子方法的话，那我们可以彻底的解脱。那么这样子的方法有没有啊？确实是有啊，这个方法就是真无。如果我们有了智慧，有了强大的智慧，这样子就把这些所有问题就一下子全部可以解决。
In order to solve our physical and mental suffering, we've been struggling away for an entire lifetime. And yet when we depart this lifetime, much of our sufferings and problems will not have been resolved. Only some of them will have been. So we spend our entire lifetimes laboring to satisfy our needs for food and clothes, etc. However, the problems that there are many more problems that remain unsolved, and the unsolved problems are much more serious in nature. So for tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of years, we've been struggling away, and yet we still have not solved these underlying problems. However, if we were to find a method that would enable us to eliminate all of our sufferings, then it would be possible for us to be completely liberated. And does such a method exist? It does. If we can attain enlightenment, then with the power of such great wisdom, it is possible for all of our problems and all of our suffering to be resolved in an instant.
我们现在每一个人啊，问一问自己，或者是观察一下，自我观察一下，我们对这个解脱感不感兴趣啊？我们学佛到现在为止，我们有没有想过我要解脱啊？有没有想过我要成佛？如果我们没有这些想法啊，这样子的话啊，就是因为我们不了解这个他们的意义啊，他们的真实的意义。所以我们需要啊学习啊，这个确实是很重要。我们很多很多学佛的人其实是有条件去学习啊，但是我们就是没有这样子的习惯啊。我们很多的佛教徒就是从来都不去学习大佐啊，那么一直从进入佛门到现在啊，一直都是参加各种各样的孝在延寿这样子的法会，还有就是啊，这个烧香拜佛啊，经常都是烧香拜佛，就停留在这个烧香拜佛的啊这个阶段。然后这么多的佛经啊，比如说《金刚经》《心经》啊这样子的佛经。我们很多人都不认为它是一个可以学习的东西，我们认为它是一个可以念啊，念了有功德啊，那我们就只求一个念这个念佛经的功德，从来都没有求佛经里面的智慧啊，那这个是很大的错误。我们每一个人要问问自己，我们目前的状态是不是这样子啊？如果是，那我们不能继续这样子，如果继续这样子的话，那我们的这个学佛就不能让我们解脱，只能暂时在这个轮回当中避免一些痛苦。但是呢，轮回当中的这个痛苦，我们刚刚也讲过了，走的时候呢 还没有毕灭，还没有解决所有的痛苦啊。如果没有解脱，那么轮回当中的这些痛苦是解决不了的。所以我们要认真的去思考一下我们的这个学佛到底是什么样子的状态。
So every person really needs to ask themselves whether you are interested in liberation. Since becoming a Buddhist up until this point now, have you given thought to achieving liberation? Have you given thought to achieving Buddhahood? If not, the reason must be because you don't understand the real significance of these goals. And for this reason, it's really necessary that everyone learn and study the teachings. Many Buddhists, in fact, have conditions that would permit them to study. However, it's just that many of us don't have the habit of doing so. There are many Buddhists who, since becoming Buddhists, have never done any study of the teachings and have never done any meditation practice. All of the time, many Buddhists have spent all of their time attending Dharma assemblies oriented towards averting misfortune and so forth. And many have simply remained at the level of Buddhists whose normal practice is making incense offerings, etc. And in terms of sutras, such as the Diamond Sutra and the Heart Sutra, many people regard these as things only to be recited. That is, they regard reciting the sutras to be very meritorious, and they only seek this merit. They never seek the wisdom from within the sutras. If this is the current state of our Buddhist practice or our motivation, then this is very mistaken. If this is our motivation of practice, the only help it will bring us is to help us in some sense in avoiding suffering within cyclic existence. It won't be of any assistance, however, in achieving liberation. And so if this is the case, when we die, then much of our suffering will still remain. So everybody really needs to critically reflect on their own situation of their own motivational situation.
好，第一个啊，我们今天讲的第一个这个时间和出世间，那么它的分解线啊，它的分解线是什么呢？就是出离心。那有出离心，那就是出世间，出世间的法心和出世间的东极。没有出离心啊，就是跟出离心没有关系的。然后就是追求这个世俗的一切的这些东极啊、法心啊，都叫做世俗，都叫做世俗，都叫做时间啊。这是我们今天讲的第一个时间和出世间的分界线。
So the first boundary between the worldly and the non-worldly, or the worldly and the trans-worldly is in terms of our motivation of Buddhist practice really hinges on renunciation. With renunciation, then we have a level of motivation that is trans-worldly. And if we don't have renunciation, if our motivation has no connection with this at all, then our motivation is worldly in nature, it's ordinary, it's mundane. So this is the first divisional boundary that we are looking at between this worldly and trans-worldly practice.
再补充一句啊，比如说没有出离心的情况下，比如说出家人啊，收戒啊，那么这个出家人的这个戒律，或者是我们啊在家人居士守五戒啊，那么 这个误解啊，如果没有处理心的话，它算不算是这个佛教的戒定慧当中的这个戒呢？啊，不算啊，如果没有处理心就不算啊。如果没有处理心啊，这种戒律，比如说不杀、不盗、不淫啊等等这些戒律啊，很多的外道啊也有的啊，很多外道都有的，比如说七拿角的很多的戒律啊，比佛教的戒律还严格啊，他们也有戒律，戒律不是佛教的都有的啊。但是如果有了出离心，如果这个戒律啊，它建立在这个出离心的基础上啊，这样子的话，那这个戒律就是佛教的戒定慧啊当中的戒啊。有了出离心，如果它在这个出离心的基础上啊，这个戒就是佛教的啊都有的啊戒律，是吧？然后其他的都是这样，除了戒律以外啊，禅定，比如说修四禅八定啊，修四禅八定，修四禅八定啊，那么是不是啊啊佛教都有的？也不是，如果没有出离心修四禅八定，那根本就不一定是佛教的啊。外道很多的外道，那、啊、就是最早这个释迦牟尼佛啊刚刚出世的时候那段时间的这个印度的外道当中修四禅八定的啊非常的多啊。释迦牟尼佛还没有成佛的时候呢，也曾经向一个外道的这个禅师啊学过这个禅定。所以啊，外道也有四禅八定，而且啊修的也是非常好的。所以没有出离心的话，那这个定啊，这个禅定是不是佛教的戒定慧当中的禅定呢？不是，外道也有啊。所以这些都是我们首先学佛啊，必须要搞明白啊，否则的话我们会走弯路的。比如说一个非常重要的非常关键的啊，就是出离心。如果我们把这个出离心扔掉忽略了啊，然后去持戒，戒律特别特别的严格啊，游泳嘛解脱不能解脱的啊。当然这个持戒是有功德，非常大的功德，但是这个功德呢只是实践的功德而已，不能成啊，不能解脱。然后呢修四禅八定也是一样啊，修四禅八定有没有功德？有功德。然后它也可以暂时控制我们的烦恼，控制我们的情绪，但是啊，它能不能让我们解脱？不能让我们解脱啊。所以这些像出离心呢，这些基础的东西啊，这些基础的东西，它在整个的学佛的过程当中起到决定性的作用，决定性的作用。所以这些都是非常非常重要。那如果真正想学佛的话，一开始的时候这个炉啊，基础不能走炉，一开始的时候这个炉不能走错。这些基础的东西是不能忽略的啊，这基础的东西忽略了啊，然后我们比如说把一栋建一栋楼的时候把地基没有做好，然后在这个基础上修高楼一样啊。所以出离心虽然是一个基础的但是非常非常的重要，起到决定性的重要，大家一定要重视。
So I'd just like to add a few words here. If we lack renunciation, but take on different vows or ethical precepts, such as take on monastic vows or the lay vows for a householder, then if we do so without renunciation, then does this taking on of ethical discipline correspond with the ethical discipline within the threefold formula of ethical discipline, samadhi, and wisdom? The answer is that without renunciation, then taking on various vows, whether it be the vow not to kill or the vow not to engage in sexual misconduct, etc., without renunciation, then these are not distinctly Buddhist vows. In fact, many other religious traditions, non-Buddhist religious traditions, have many ethical precepts as well. For example, Jainism, the Jain religion, has a great number of ethical precepts. So if our taking on of precepts and taking on of ethical discipline is not built or on a foundation of renunciation, then our vows and our ethical discipline does not correspond with the first of this threefold formula, which is central to Buddhist practice. So it is with renunciation that this ethical discipline becomes ethical discipline of a distinctly Buddhist kind. And it's the same with meditation practice as well, meditation on the four dhanas and the eight jhanas. So without renunciation, this is not necessarily Buddhist meditation, or it's not Buddhist meditation. It isn't considered Buddhist meditation if we don't have renunciation. At the time of the Buddha, there were many practitioners of this kind of meditation. And indeed, before the Buddha achieved enlightenment, he received instruction in this kind of meditation from a teacher of a different religious tradition. So without renunciation, then our meditative practice similarly doesn't correspond with the meditative concentration or samadhi, the second of the threefold formula, which is integral to Buddhist practice. So we need to be really careful, because without Buddhist, without renunciation, if we discard it and take vows, for example, whilst this may be meritorious, this merit will only be able to assist us in worldly goals. It won't be of any assistance to us in achieving liberation. And it's the same with our meditative practice too. It, without renunciation, our practice can still have merit, and it still can help us to control our mental state and emotions and so forth, but it won't be of any assistance to us achieving liberation. So these foundational practices and foundational qualities play a very critical role in Buddhist practice. And if we really want to study Buddhism, we want to practice Buddhism, we can't afford to begin in a mistaken way on the path. We can't afford to neglect these foundational practices. It would be like trying to build a tall building on inadequate foundations. So renunciation is extremely important and something that everyone should pay attention to.
好，第二个时间和初时间的分别第二个，第二个是善根善根就是我们心善，比如说持戒、忍辱、布施等等还有就是烧香拜佛、诵经、吃粥也是善，也是心善，也是善根那这个善根也有初时间的善根和时间的善根，有两种这个不同的善根。然后这个初时间的善根和时间的善根中间也有一个分界线什么样的情况下变成这个初时间的善根，什么样的这个情况下变成了这个时间的善根这个是非常重要我们平时这些都是跟我们的修心有非常大的关系这些比如说佛教里面的理论有些理论呢我们暂时不学的话也可以的至少跟我们的目前的这个修心没有 太大的关系啊，至少没有直接的关系啊，这样子这些可以学可以不学，嗯，但是有些啊佛教的常识是不能不学的，这个跟我们的这个修心有直接的关系啊，有直接的关系。如果我们不懂这些，那我们自以为我在学佛修心，但是实际上啊还没有入门啊，有这样子的可能，所以啊这些是必须要学的。那善根的这个啊也有，善根也要分一个初实践的善根和实践的善根，然后我们也要知道这个中间的这个分界线是什么。
So the second category in relation to which we can draw a line between the this worldly and beyond this worldly level of practices in terms of our roots of virtue or our virtuous roots. So any kind of positive action, whether it be taking on vows orextending patience and forbearance to others, or exercising generosity, etc., making offerings, all of these generate merit, generate virtuous roots. And in terms of virtuous roots, there are those of a worldly and a transworldly nature. There is also a line that divides these two. So under what conditions do we generate or produce worldly roots of virtue, and under what conditions do we produce roots of virtue that are beyond this world in their nature? Well, this has a great connection to our practice. In terms of Buddhist theory, there is some theory that it's fine if we don't study for the time being, especially if it's not directly connected to our practice. However, there is some knowledge, some theory that we can't afford not to know because it is fundamentally related to our Buddhist practice. And there is the possibility that if we don't know it, then we may be under the impression that we are engaging in Buddhist practice when we have not actually even entered the gate of the Buddhist teachings. So for this reason, it's really necessary that we understand the line that separates this worldly virtuous roots from the other worldly virtuous roots.
比如说我们把这些华供养给佛供养给佛，那么我们用鲜华供养佛，那这个是功德，这个是心善啊，叫做善根。嗯，那这个善根啊，也许是初实践的善根啊，也许是实践的善根。嗯，不确定啊，这个两个都有可能的啊。那么什么样的情况下啊，这些华供养佛的这个功德，这个善根就变成实践的，什么样的情况下它就变成这个初实践那是不是以这个华来决定不是那是不是我们供养的这个佛像决定也不是我们同样的这些华，同样的佛像，就是不同的结果，所以不是这个当中起到这个决定性的作用的，就不是这个公平，也不是佛，都不是。嗯，那是什么呢？是我们自己的发心也就是我们刚刚讲的这个动机，我们的发心和我们的动机，在这个时候就是起到了决定性的作用，我们的善根是初实践的善根还是实践的善根，是我们的动机，我们的发心说了算。
So if I were to offer these flowers to the Buddha, well, offering fresh flowers generates merit. It's a positive act, and so therefore it is generative of roots of virtue or roots of merit. However, it's possible that these roots of merit or roots of virtue could are worldly in nature or beyond this worldly in nature. It's not possible to ascertain simply from the act of making an offering what the nature of the merit generated is. So is, in fact, the nature of the merit generated determined by the flower, or is it determined by the Buddha statue to whom we are making the offerings? In actual fact, it is neither of these. It's possible to make an offering to make the same offering to the same Buddha statue, but to have very different results in terms of the merit generated. So the absolute decisive factor is not the offering of the Buddha, but our motivation, as we mentioned before, our aspiration. This is what determines whether or not our merit generated is worldly in nature or transworldly in nature.
我们不要以为比如说像金银珠宝这样子的这个公拼上等的公拼的功德很大然后就是一般的这个比如说水香华这样子是比较大家都比较容易得到的这些东西这些公拼供佛的功德不入金银珠宝的供拼不能这么不能以这些供拼来分而是要以这个觉法心来分如果我们的法心如果这个法心比较纯真也就是比如说像处离心菩提心这样子的话那虽然我们供的供品非常的差但是功德相当相当的大如果我们的法心就是世间的法心有没有菩提心有没有处离心只是时间的这个法心和东极这样子的话我们供的供品是金银珠宝这个时尚最罕见的这些稀有的这些供品但是呢功德它的结果就不怎么样因为我们的法心目标很低所以这个功德就不能变成一个很伟大的善根。
So we can't afford to think that making offerings of gold and silver and precious jewels generates great merit, whereas making offerings of ordinary substances such as water and incense and things that are more easily able to be obtained generates less merit or is not as good as making offerings of precious substances. It is not the offering that determines the merit, but the aspiration with which the offerings are made. And if our motivation, if our aspiration is pure, that is, if we make an offering with renunciation and bodhicitta, then even though the offering substance may be very ordinary in nature, the merit that is generated will be extremely great. If, on the other hand, our motivation or aspiration is of a worldly level, that is, with no mind of renunciation or bodhicitta, then even though we might be making offerings of precious jewels and gold and silver, etc., the rarest possible substances, the merit or the result that we obtain will not be great. And the reason for this is that this motivation is a low level, and therefore it's not possible for it to generate a result that is great in nature.
给大家讲一个故事释迦牟尼佛在世的时候有一次是一个佛教的节日那么当天 就是是当时这个佛陀的周边的这些国王大臣这些社会的这些上层人很多都是信佛的，这个时候都很多都是信佛的那么那一天国王大臣还有就是这些商人这些上层人士，然后就是因为是佛陀的一个解惹，然后大家带着各种各样的非常非常珍贵的这些贡品来供佛。然后呢有一个当时那个城里面呢有一个非常贫穷的一个妇女，然后她特别的随喜这些人的供佛，然后呢她自己也很想很想供佛特别的想供养佛，但是呢她一无所有，她没有任何的可以供的东西，然后就打她到城外去，就在这个城外的垃圾里面呢见到了一个羊蹄子羊蹄，他想供一盏灯但是没有供杯没地方供所以他到城外的垃圾里面去找，就见到了一个羊蹄，但是呢他没有油虽然看到他觉得这个羊蹄可以作为供杯可以作为这个灯杯，但是他没有油然后呢他又到城里面去就一个买油的这个店铺要了一点油然后呢他就把这个就做了一盏灯，然后把这盏灯就放在这个各种各样的这个金银珠宝的这个贡品当中从物质的角度来讲人家国王大臣这些有钱的人各种各样的金银珠宝的这些贡品当中放一个羊蹄上去那这根本就不是一个贡品非常的难看但是他是发了菩提心，他这个羊蹄里面的一盏灯是为了天下所有的人天下所有的众生而供的，然后这些其他人的很多人的这些供品呢就是为了自己供的。那这样子以后呢晚上的时候释迦牟尼佛睡觉的时候呢这些灯要熄灭的佛睡觉的时候出家人比丘都是这样子，睡觉的时候这些灯要熄灭的。然后这个时候呢母犍连是释迦牟尼佛的最大的这个神通第一的一个弟子八大弟子之一，然后母犍连过来把这些全部的这些灯都把它们吹灭但是有一盏灯它没办法吹灭熄灭不了，那这个灯就是这个羊蹄里面的这个灯他没有办法，他再怎么样都没办法熄灭然后目犍连他是有神通的然后他通过神通变很大的风去吹最后还是吹不灭那当他没有办法的时候呢，然后佛陀就走过来了然后佛陀告诉这个目犍连因为目犍连他是修小乘佛教，他是小乘佛教的阿罗汉然后佛陀告诉他像你们这样整天是为了自己着想的人是没有办法吹灭这盏灯这盏灯是为了天下所有的众生供的你没有办法吹灭这盏灯那这个就是说明什么呢？说明这个一个善根的伟大和不伟大不在于它的公平的珍贵和不珍贵，而是在于它的这个法心的纯正所以这个它的分解线就不是这些物质不是供养的佛因为大臣这个商人他们也供养佛，那这个 贫穷的妇女她也是供养佛，大家都是一样，只供大家都供养一尊佛，佛是没有差别的啊。然后从公平的角度来讲啊，这个所有当天的所有的公平里面呢，最差的啊，就是他的啊这盏灯，没有一个公平比更差的。但是从善根的角度来讲，当天所有人的这个供佛的善根当中，没有一个是比他的善根更伟大的啊。那为什么是这样子？因为他的发心啊，因为他是菩提心的基础上啊，其他人的呢没有在菩提心的基础上，所以就有这么大的区别。
So I'd like to tell a story to illustrate this. During the life of the Buddha, there was a festival, Buddhist festival. And on the day of the festival, many kings and ministers and other members of the upper level of society, many of whom had faith in the Buddha at this time, had faith in Buddhism, they because it was a Buddhist festival, they all took very rich offerings to make to the Buddha. There was also in this city a very poor woman, and she rejoiced very much in these rich people of the upper strata making offerings to the Buddha, and she wished very much that she herself were also able to make an offering, but she had nothing to offer. So what she did was go outside the city, and she found within a heap of garbage a sheep foot or a sheep hoof with which to fashion a cup for a lamp offering. She wanted to make a lamp offering to the Buddha. However, once she had got this, she still didn't have any oil. So she went into the city to find a stall that sold oil, and she acquired some oil. So out of this, she made a lamp, and then she took it and she placed it among all of the other very rich offerings that had been made to the Buddha by the other rich and powerful people. So from a material perspective, to place a sheep's hoof or a sheep's foot among offerings of a very rich nature was not this offering really wasn't from a material point of view an offering at all. It didn't look very nice. However, her offering, the aspiration that she made the offering with, was one that was underpinned by bodhicitta, the altruistic mind. She made the offering for the sake of all beings, whereas all of the other people who made their offerings did so for themselves. So what happened then at night time, when it came time to extinguish all the lamps, Buddha's closest disciple with the greatest supernatural powers, Mu Jianlian, he went about to extinguish, to put out all the lamps. And the only lamp that he was unable to extinguish was the lamp that had been offered by the poor woman. And however he tried, he just couldn't put it out. So given that he had great powers of, or had great capacity for supernatural powers, he generated a strong wind to blow out the lamp, but still he wasn't able to extinguish it. And at this time, the Buddha came by. The Buddha approached him, and Mu Jianlian was an arhat. He was a practitioner of the basic vehicle of Buddhism. And what the Buddha said to him was, for people like you who engage in practice for yourselves, it's not possible for you to be able to extinguish this lamp, because it was made with the aspiration of benefiting all beings. So this story shows us very clearly that merit is not determined by the richness or the preciousness materially of the offerings that are made, but by the purity of the motivation with which the offering is made. So the line that distinguishes the nature of offerings is not the substance in question of the offering or the object of the offering, the Buddha. Both the rich people in this story as well as the poor woman made their offerings to the same Buddha, so there was no difference in terms of the Buddha. And her offering, the offering of the poor woman, was the, materially speaking, the worst offering there. However, in terms of her merit, in terms of her roots of virtue, there were none greater than hers. And that was because her offering was based on bodhicitta, whereas the others were not based on bodhicitta. So we can therefore see that there is a very great difference between these two levels of motivation.
我们的发心是同样的，比如说两个人供佛，他们的发心是相同的，两个都有出离心，这样子的话，这个公平越珍贵，就是越有福报，但是如果没有这个发心的基础，如果这个发心动机上面呢有很大的差距的话，这个公平越珍贵。 不一定也有功德，所以这个当中呢，最关键的不是公平，最关键的就是发心，然后呢，除了供佛以外，其他的这些心善都是一样，所以最关键的、最需要的就是这个发心。
So if two people have the same level of motivation, they both make an offering with renunciation, then in this situation we can say that the more precious the offering is made, then the more merit that is generated. However, if there are discrepancies in the quality of the aspiration with or motivation with which an offering is made, then even though the substance in question may be very precious, it will not be generative of merit. So we can see that the aspiration is the most important thing, and this is in relation to all kinds of positive conduct that we undertake. Aspiration is most important.
我们可以这样子下结论，凡是有出离心的基础的善根，不管是什么善根，都叫做处世间的善根。处世间的善根意思是什么？ 出世间的善根，它的结果是什么呢？结果就是让我们解脱，让我们解脱，能让我们解脱的善根，都叫做出世间的善根，这是第一。然后第二，凡是没有这个出离心的基础的善根，从表面上看起来，再伟大，再怎么样，都是。 实践的善根，实践的善根是什么意思呢？只能让我们在轮回当中稍微过得幸福一点、健康一点。那这样子的善根叫做实践的善根。那么这两个的分界线就是出离心，有菩提心的话，那当然是更好；没有菩提心，那出离心就起到这个作用，起到这个决定性的作用。
So we can therefore draw the conclusion that all merit that is generated upon a foundation of renunciation belongs to the category of non-worldly merit or beyond this worldly merit. And what do we mean by this? Well, what it means is the result of this kind of merit is or the result that this merit can bring us is the ability to assist us in achieving liberation. Merit that is able to help us in achieving liberation is considered to be non-worldly or non-mundane merit. Whereas merit that is not underpinned by renunciation, regardless of how wonderful or great it may appear to be on the surface, it will only be merit of a worldly level. And this means that it will only, in terms of its result, be able to help us have a bit more happiness and health within cyclic existence. So the dividing line between the two, the dividing line between whether our merit is mundane or non-mundane, this worldly or beyond this world, is whether or not we have renunciation. Of course, if we have bodhicitta in addition to this, this is excellent. However, it's renunciation that is the determining, the plays the decisive role.
现在我们需要做一个自我检查啊，我们从学佛入门到现在这个过程当中啊，说这个心的这个善根啊，就是身口意的这些善根啊，有没有菩提心的基础啊？我们身口意的这个善根心善，这个当中有多少个时间的这个善根，有多少个这个处世间的善根啊？也许我们发现所有都是时间的善根，根本就没有处世间的善根啊。那这样子的话，这个我们从学佛到现在的这个善根当中，没有一个是让我们能够解脱的啊。这些所有的善根，我们的身口意的这些心善，所有的这些善根只能让我们在轮回当中啊稍微健康啊快乐啊，但是没有一个善根是让我们解脱的啊，没有一个善根是让我们成佛的。这样子确实是这个方法上面有很大的问题，所以我们必须要重新这个思考。怎么样学佛，到底学佛应该走什么样的路啊？正确的路是什么，这个我们重新要思考，非常的重要。
So everyone needs to do some self-reflection and consider whether from the time that you became a Buddhist till now, whether your positive actions, the positive actions of your body, speech, and mind have been conducted on a foundation of renunciation, and how many of your positive actions have been underpinned by worldly motivation. Some of you, in reflecting on your own situation, might discover that all of your positive action has been worldly in orientation. And this means that none of the merit you have accumulated up until this point is able to assist you in achieving liberation. It's only able to help you enjoy a somewhat more healthy and happy existence within cyclic existence. And if this is the case, then our approach to studying Buddhism, to Buddhist practice, has some serious problems, and it is necessary to think afresh about how we should go about following a proper path of Buddhist practice.
第三个，那时间和初时间的分别啊，就是从见解的角度，见解就是观点啊，我们。比如说学佛的人应该有一个与跟普通的人不一样的世界观和人生观这叫做见解。那从见解的角度讲，也可以分时间和处世间那么从见解的角度讲，什么是时间什么是处世间呢？时间就是凡事没有真无空心凡事没有真无空心，有这个执着有对这个现实的东西有执着的情况下心善都叫做时间都叫做时间。然后 正无空心啊，正无以喉的这个心善啊，身口意的心善，都叫做初识见啊，初识见。那么他们的这个分界线是正无啊，正无空心就是他们的分界线。
So the third way or the third category that is possible for us to distinguish between worldly practice and Dharma-oriented practice or beyond this worldly practice is in terms of our view, our view. So as Buddhists, we should have a different value system and world view. It's possible in terms of our view to distinguish between a view that is worldly in nature and one that is non-worldly in nature. And the line here is whether or not we have realized emptiness. So without realizing emptiness, still in a state of having attachment to worldly things, positive action that we undertake in this state is worldly in nature, whereas positive action that is undertaken on the foundation of having realized emptiness is dharmic or non-worldly, beyond this worldly in nature. So again, the dividing line between the two is the realization of emptiness.
真无空行啊，这个我们今天在座的所有人都有这个机会啊，只要自己努力，不要错过的话，我们每个人都有真无的机会啊。我们不能以为啊，真无，比如说出家人才可以真无，或者是什么高僧大德才可以出这个真无啊，这个想法是不对的。我们所有人啊。都有机会的，所有人只要自己稍微努力的话，那就每一个人都可以证悟的，而且这一生当中完全是可以证悟的但是如果我们永远都停留在这个烧香拜佛然后就是这个参加各种各样的观顶火供然后就参加各种各样的这些商业化的这些佛教的商业化的活动，佛教的这些形式化的活动，永远都在这些活动当中停留在这些活动当中不学习，不修行不发出离心，不发菩提心，这样子的话，我们任何人都是没有机会的如果我们正确的学佛，从闻思修开始。从听闻佛法到修心走这条正确的路这样子我们每一个人都可以证悟的。如果有一天我们真的证悟了的话，那就我们的这些所有的烦恼所有的烦恼从它的源头上从它的本质上都铲除了从今以后呢，我们不会再有这样子的烦恼，没有烦恼，我们自然也不会去造业不造业，我们不会轮回不会轮回。然后在这个基础上有菩提心，然后我们可以更多的这个可以帮助更多的人。从此以后呢，我们的人生生命就变得非常非常有意义非常有意义。然后这个。是我们这一生当中的最大的收获最大的收获，我们的金钱，我们的地位，然后我们的这个名声，所有的一切，只能用这么几十年或者是十几年然后过去了以后呢，全部都会归零本来也就是从零开始的然后走的时候，我们来的时候都是零，然后从零开始奋斗了一辈子拥有了很多很多的东西但是最后走的时候呢，又要归零， 这个赎资全部要归零的啊，唯一的不归零的就是我们，比如说我们证悟空心，这个证悟空心的知回永远都不会归零。嗯，然后我们有了出离心，有了菩提心，稍微修的比较稳定一点，这样子的话，那这个出离心和菩提心它永远都不会归零。这就是我们这一生当中我们来这个世界的真正的收获，就是这些啊，其他的都是我们临时可以用一用而已，实际上走的时候呢全部要还给别人啊，所以我们能带走的就是这些啊，能带走的就不需要归零的啊，就是这个我们的这些修心，通过修心所得到的啊这些东西，这个非常重要，希望大家努力用功啊，我们每一天的这个24小时的每一天的这个时间当中的5%4%已经很多很多了5%也可以5%的时间用到这个修心打坐学佛，这样子的话，那每天基本上都有1小时左右的时间，如果每天都这样子坚持，每天都这样坚持的话，那一年我们有365个小时的大作的记录啊，已经很不错啊。那这样子下去的话，有可能证悟，有可能有菩提心，有可能有这个出离心，都有可能啊。所以希望大家稍微花一点时间，不需要太多啊，不需要50%的时间，不需要30%，只需要5%到10%。10%已经很不错了啊，5%也可以啊。如果我们这一点的时间啊都不愿意花的话，那就我们不要想解脱了，就是在这个时间啊过一个稍微比较幸福的生活。那么这样子的话，我们等一下要讲，就是要修，要走另外一条路。
The realization of emptiness is something that everyone sitting here tonight has the opportunity to realize. So long as you are a bit diligent in your practice, we shouldn't think that it's only monks or ordained persons or great masters that are able to realize emptiness. This isn't correct. All people, so long as they are diligent, have the opportunity to realize emptiness. And this is very much possible within this very lifetime. However, if we remain forever at the level of practice of making incense offerings, attending rituals, other commercialized kind of Buddhist activities, empty ritual events, etc., then and don't study the teachings or engage in practice, if we don't generate renunciation or bodhicitta, then there is no chance that we'll be able to realize emptiness. However, if we do properly practice, starting with learning the teachings, reflecting on them, and then moving on to meditative practice and follow this correct path of Buddhist practice, then everyone has the possibility of becoming enlightened. And if we are able to realize emptiness, then we will be able to eliminate all of our afflictions and all of our sufferings at the very root. And in having done this, we will never need to accumulate negative karma again, and therefore will not need to return to cyclic existence in the future. And if in addition to this we have bodhicitta, then we will be able to help many other beings, and our life will become extremely meaningful. This is the greatest possible achievement that we could have in this life. Things like money and status, reputation, etc., These are things that can only really benefit in this lifetime for several years. Ultimately, when we die, they will return to zero. When we arrived in this lifetime, when we were born, we began at zero. And working very hard, we accumulated various things, but ultimately we return to this point zero when we die. And the only thing that won't return to zero when we die is the fruits of our practice, so namely realizing emptiness, the wisdom of having realized emptiness, and the altruistic mind of Bodhicitta. So these are the real achievements in this life. Other things are just things that we can temporarily possess. The only things that we can take with us are the qualities that we develop through our practice. So I hope that everybody works hard in terms of pursuing these goals. If every day we're able to spend just 10% of our time, or even 5% of our time, on practice, on meditation, on study of the Dharma teachings, and we're able to persevere like this every day, allocating 1 hour to our study and practice, then over 1 year we would be able to accumulate 365 hours of meditation practice. And if we're able to continue in this way, then it's very possible for us to truly generate renunciation, to truly generate bodhicitta, and to truly realize emptiness. It's not necessary that we spend all of our time, or even half of our time, or 30% of our time on Dharma practice. Just 10% or even 5% is okay. However, if we're not willing to allocate even this amount to our practice, then we shouldn't even contemplate achieving liberation. If we're not willing to dedicate this amount of time to practice, then we should just be content to lead a happy life in cyclic existence, in which case our path of practice is different.
第四个时间和初时间的分别，也就是最后一个那么最后一个是修心的，这个从修心的角度来讲，也有时间的修心和初时间的修心。实际上这个第四个这个分别呢，实际上就是我们的一个实际行动。因为我们前面这前面的三个这个时间和初时间的分别，然后让我们知道什么是时间什么样的情况下变成这个时间法，什么样的情况下变成处时间法然后在这个之前呢，我们开始的时候也给大家介绍过什么是这个时间，什么是处时间，都讲了然后后面的这三个就让我们明白什么样的条件下某一种善根变成时间法，然后什么样的情况下变成出世间法中间的这三个呢，就是让我们明白这些道理。然后最后的一个这个道理明白了以后呢，我们应该有一个实际的行动那我们现在也明白了什么叫做时间法、出世间法，也知道了怎么样走时间法和出世间法那这些都明白了以后呢，我们最后就是一个选择需要一个选择，那我们到底是走哪一条路走这个时间的路，还是走出时间的路这个就是最后一个这个分别。
So the final dividing line between the worldly and the dharmic, or the worldly and the beyond this worldly, is in terms of practice, actual concrete action, concrete conduct. So the three other ways in which we're able to divide between the worldly and the dharmic have enabled us to understand under what conditions or in what kind of situations is our practice considered worldly, and under what kind of conditions or in is our practice dharma oriented. So after we understand this, we now need to move on to the question of actual conduct, actual action. And we need to have a choice here, or we are presented with a choice as to which of these paths we are going to follow.
如果我们走这个时间的法，走时间法这条路的话，那就很简单，不需要处理心，不需要菩提心，也不需要正悟空心，那只需要相信轮回，然后就相信善啊，这个因果啊，善有善报，恶有恶报，然后这个是他的这个简解，在这个上面呢，精良的心杀断恶首先皈依不皈依的话，没有皈依的话就不叫佛教徒，所以首先皈依，然后呢，精良的就守一两条戒，平时尽量行善啊，这样子就可以了。那么这样子他可以这个可以不需要修那个很多的这些比较复杂的这些法不需要。但是呢，他的结果也是比较差就只能在这个生活当中，只能在这个世间享受一些人天的福报。但是呢这个人天福报当中，有这个幸福和快乐当中，也有很多的不幸福不快乐的，比如说生老病死一个人一辈子都是非常非常顺利，非常的幸福，但是呢死亡衰老最后的生病那这些任何人都避免不了，所以呢这个生老病死的问题没有解决，解决不了。还有很多很多世俗的这些幸福当中呢，也有很多的不幸福的世间的所有的幸福都是离不开这个不幸福一面是幸福，另外一面就是不幸福，或者是幸福过了以后呢，立即就会导致更加的不幸福等等，所以这些是没办法解决。但是如果觉得可以可以这样子也可以，我不想解脱这样子就这个也就总比不学好，走这条路也是一个选择。
So if we choose to follow a worldly path as a Buddhist, then there is no need for us to realize emptiness. There's no need to cultivate compassion, and there's no need to generate renunciation. Just believing in karmic cause and effect and rebirth is sufficient. In this situation, we need to do our best to engage in positive action and do our best to give up negative action. We should also take refuge. Without doing this, then we aren't considered Buddhist, and in addition can take on a couple of ethical precepts or vows. So if this is the path of Buddhist of Buddhism that we elect to choose, then there's no need for us to learn more complicated methods of practice. However, the result that this kind of Buddhist approach yields is quite average. It's only possible for us to enjoy worldly kinds of karmic rewards. In addition to these karmic rewards, however, there is still suffering that we have to deal with. Even for a person who has a very happy worldly life, it is not possible to escape the process of aging, illness and death. In this case, we haven't solved or transcended these problems. And in addition to these, there are many other forms of suffering and unhappiness that exist in cyclic existence that we won't have transcended either. However, if we are willing to accept this kind of situation, then there is no need for us to engage in more complex practice. And whilst this is better than nothing, it's better than no practice whatsoever, and is a choice that we have before us.
如果我们觉得这个轮回当中呢可以享受人天的福报，但是生老病死的问题还有很多的痛苦得不到解决，那么觉得没有太大的意义那这样子的话，我们有另外一个选择另外一个选择就是走解脱道，也就是我们今天讲的这个处世间法，修处世间法。那么走解脱道也有两个选择，一个是小乘佛教那小乘佛教呢，首先只是解决自己的问题，个人的问题，不像度众生不像帮助众生。然后另外一个呢，就是在这个出离心，那如果是走这条路的话，需要修出离心这个非常重要。如果不想走这条路，如果觉得这条路很自私所以不想走这条路那么就想帮助人，希望能够帮助人这样子就是选择大乘佛教的路这样子就要发菩提心然后出离心和菩提心就决定我们走大乘佛教或者小乘佛教。然后最后大乘佛教和小乘佛教要走到底那就必须要证悟空心大乘佛教也要证悟空心，小乘佛教也要证悟空心。所以这是我们最后如果选择这条路的话，那就是最好选择大乘佛教，大家发菩提心然后就争取这一辈子这个证悟我们可以这么讲所有的学大乘佛教的人，我们的终极的目标，最后的目标就是为了帮助人，为了帮助众生然后最终的目的还不是成佛最终的目的就是为了度众生但是我们发现要度众生，那就必须要成佛不成佛就是没有这个能力，所以就是要成佛所以就是成佛为了度众生这个成佛这个是我们最后的目标。但是最后的目标还没有达到之前，我们也可以建立一些小的临时性的目标，比如说这一生当中我应该完成哪些工作我应该做一些，我应该这个走完哪些路就是需要一个临时性的这个目标，这个也是很重要那我们的临时性的目标是什么呢？我觉得我们每一个人争取就这一生走的时候就完成两件事情就不多，就两个一个是什么呢？就是能够发出一个标准的菩提心标准的菩提心然后第二个就是有一个初步的证悟初步的证悟，证悟空心只要有这两个那我们这个还没有成佛然后我们的境界虽然也不是很高但是呢我们完全下一世完全可以继续修行，因为有了这两个非常好的基础这个基础 永远都永远都不会颓势，永远都不会颓势。然后他在我们的生命轮回当中，他永远都会发挥他们的作用所以下一时无论投身到什么样的环境当中什么样的文化背景下他都一定要照他自己的这个，他一定要找到他自己的路，他一定要走他自己的路。这一点完全是没有问题的这样子我们的这个学佛解脱都有很大的把握很大的把握。所以希望大家就是争取这一生就做这两件事这个非常重要只需要花5%的时间只需要花5%的时间也就差不多也就差不多可以达到这个那如果说只花5%的时间可以达到这个目的，我们明白这个道理，但是还是不愿意滑的话，那确实是没得救了。
If on the other hand we think we are of the mind that even though it may be possible to achieve positive karmic rewards, but that in not transcending the sufferings of cyclic existence, this worldly approach to Buddhism is not very meaningful, then we need to make a different choice in terms of the path of Buddhist practice that we follow. Basically, we need to choose to enter into the path of liberation. And this is a beyond this worldly or a dharmic choice of path. Within this path, there are two further choices that present themselves to us. The first is following a path of practice corresponding with the basic vehicle. That is, this is an approach to practice that requires us to generate renunciation. But it is a path of practice where we do so primarily for our own purposes rather than for the sake of others. If we feel that this approach to Buddhist practice is selfish and we wish for through our practice to benefit many other beings, then we need to also cultivate bodhicitta. And bodhicitta determines whether or not we are following a path of practice that corresponds with the teachings of the basic vehicle or the greater vehicle. So regardless of whether we take a path of practice that corresponds with the basic vehicle or the greater vehicle, in both cases we also need to realize emptiness. So if we're making a choice for a non-worldly or a dharmic path of practice, then the best choice is to follow the Mahayana path. And the ultimate goal of this is to benefit other beings. It's not actually to achieve Buddhahood. It is because we discover that it is not possible to be of greatest assistance to other beings without achieving Buddhahood that we aim and aspire to achieve Buddhahood. With this motivation of practice, it's necessary for us to aim to attain Buddhahood. However, before we arrive at this final goal, we should make some smaller provisional goals along the way, things that we seek to accomplish, things that we need to accomplish in this lifetime. Setting these smaller provisional goals is very important. And what I think is that everyone for this lifetime should set as their provisional goals the accomplishment of two things. And the first of these is generating a genuine mind of altruism, that is generating genuine bodhicitta. And the second thing is attaining an initial realization of emptiness. So even though in accomplishing these two goals we haven't yet achieved Buddhahood and our level of realization might not be extremely high. Nevertheless, with this strong foundation, we can continue to practice in our future life, our next lifetime. And this foundation that we have, we will have already prepared or achieved, will never recede in our future lifetimes. It will always continue to be of benefit. So in our next life, regardless of where we are reborn, in what place or in what kind of cultural context, we will necessarily still find our path of practice and continue in our practice. And so if we're able to accomplish these two goals in this lifetime, then we will have a very strong grasp on our Buddhist practice. Accomplishing these two goals is extremely important. It's something that only needs 5% of our time. This is approximately enough for us to achieve these goals. If we understand that only this amount of time is needed to accomplish these goals, but still we are not willing to pursue them, then there is really nothing that can be done.
我们的这一生, 跟我们的以往的任何的时候都不一样, 这一生, 确实是充满了希望, 有很多很多的机会, 希望大家努力争取这个发菩提心和正悟空心。那如果我们决定要这么做，就是从哪里开始呢？就是首先大家去学习，从最基础的开始学习怎么去修，先去开始了解怎么去修处理心。 然后再去学怎么修菩提心，然后再去学怎么样去证悟空心，先去学习，然后再去思考这个路这样子走对或者不对，去思考，然后通过这个学习和思考确定这条路是没有错，可以这样子走，那就毫无犹豫的去投入。 到这个修心当中，这样子一定会有结果的，希望大家努力，我们今天的课就讲到这里。
this life that we have now is very special. It is a life that is filled with much hope and many opportunities. And so for this reason, I hope very much that everyone can be diligent in working towards cultivating bodhicitta and realizing emptiness. If we decide that these are goals that we wish to accomplish, then where should we begin? Well, we need to begin by learning the basics. We need to begin by learning how we go about practice, how we cultivate bodhicitta, how it is that we go about realizing emptiness through practice. So first we need to study, then we need to contemplate what we've studied and establish for ourselves whether we believe it to be true or not. And through reflecting, once we establish great certainty in the path, then invest ourselves thoroughly in practice, then we will necessarily be able to see results. And this is the end of my teaching tonight.
好，我们最后大家做回向，我们今天的听经问法的功德分享给天下所有的众生，然后天下所有的众生以我们的功德能让大家心服快乐，很快就能够超越生死轮回，以这样子的心愿做回向。
So we are going to end now by dedicating our merit from that we have generated through listening to tonight's teaching. And we do so with the wish that in sharing our merit with all beings that they may achieve happiness and health and very rapidly transcend the sufferings of cyclic existence.
Sonam daye tanja zomba nya tonne ni be janam banje jirga na je wa long de ba de ben zo len do wa do sho om a ho ban zeng ge ma ma sa de hong om a ho ban zeng ge ma ma sa de hong om a ho ban zeng ge ma ma sa de hong。谢谢，谢谢大家，阿弥陀佛，大家晚安。